Hello and welcome, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, everyone, to the Prospering Souls broadcast, Foundation of Truth series. We're so glad to have you all here tonight with another teaching on redemption, the subject of redemption. And I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to learn that redemption has so much to do with my freedom. Christ's redemption has freed us from guilt, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. And I know that Elder Shirley Russell is on the line, and I can't wait to get started. This has been such a blessing to me to share with you. I'm your host for tonight, Ransom Dodson, here in Indianapolis. We are of the Lamb's Help Ministries here in Indianapolis, and we are excited to be on the line. Look, I'm not going to take any more of your time. I'm going to pray so I can get out of the way for our teacher tonight, who was so good last Sunday. The message was so good. I was inspired. And I know she has more to give us on this subject of redemption. So let's get started. I'm going to open up with prayer, and then I'm just going to let her have it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over everything that is not like God right now, that the message of redemption, the message of salvation, may go forth over these airways. Father, let it prick hearts. Let it touch minds. Let it strengthen souls. Let it inspire spirits. In the name of Jesus, our hands are lifted up, and we say thank you, praise you for another session, and we praise everyone that is here. Oh, God, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Elder Russell, Shirley Russell, if you're on the line, ma'am, give it over to you. God bless you.
And God bless you, too, Elder Dodson. And greetings to all, to those that are listening. It is, again, such a pleasure to be able to share with you God's word and revelation knowledge. It's such a blessing. I count it a blessing whenever I have the opportunity to share his word. Amen. I'm going to start my lesson with a little song because it's something about the blood of Jesus that's so powerful. I want to do a couple of verses. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. They nailed him to the cross. They nailed him to the cross. They nailed him to the cross for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. They nailed him to the cross for me. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can't talk about redemption unless you talk about the blood. The blood does so much. The blood redeems us. The blood justifies us before a holy God. The blood pays for our sins so we are reconciled to God and don't go to hell. The blood sanctifies us. The blood cleanses us from all sin. The blood washes away our sins. Amen. Last week, we spoke about what is redemption and some definitions of redemption. I just want to speak on just for a moment on that. We often hear this word when we are turning in coupons or tickets for a special offer. Think about this next time you stand at the grocery store with coupons in your hand. A ticket allows you to claim something held back. You are redeeming that item, pulling it out of confinement. You are the items redeemed. You are the items redeemer, like the box of cereal, a bag of chips. We are subject to one another. We are under another's authority. Once we redeem the box, we can remove it from the store. In the same way, once we are redeemed through the work of Christ, we can be removed from the consequences of our fallen nature. Amen.
Amen.
Removed from our fallen nature. Praise God. Our beliefs tell us that through one man, Adam, you have to go back and just do a little bit of the history. So it all comes together. Our belief tells us that through one man, Adam, sin entered the world in the form of original sin. Since that time, humans have been cursed with original sin. The results of our first parents' defiance and rejection of God's love, original sin is harbored in every descendant of Adam. The entire human race, from the very moment of conception, it is original sin that weakens the will of man and creates a tendency in man to embrace evil and selfish passions. Original sin places a barrier between God and us. And the effects of original sin are so devastating that no man, by his own power, can overcome the selfishness inherent in original sin. Do you know that in the garden, where God placed Adam and Eve, was the first bloodshed sacrifice? When Eve took the apple, disobeyed God and gave to her husband. Then they knew they were naked, and they hid and put leaves around themselves. But later, after God realized what had happened, he had to slaughter sheep to provide clothing, suitable attire for them. So blood and death was created right there in the garden with Adam and Eve. In Romans 6:23, Paul tells us that for the wages of sin is death, but the grace of God, life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin, both original and personal, separates man from God. Because God is the perfection of all that is holy, just and good. He cannot tolerate sinful humanity in the fullness of his presence. Sin places a chasm between man and God that cannot be overcome by human religions. Good works without grace and humans and man's attempt to try their best to live a good life. In essence, no created person can bridge the gulf of sin between God and man. You know, just stopping there just for a moment, because I was leaving church today, and I was driving down a certain street. I bet I passed at least 15 to 20 churches. You know, there were some seniors, there were families, there were children, all gathered together looking for something. Looking for something that's not in the streets. Looking for something that they can have peace, peace of mind, protection from their family. Whether they are living or not, they are looking. They are searching. And that is why we have, one reason we have so many churches. God made a great promise. God promised the coming of the Messiah to the Jews. Now, we are very fortunate to have a loving and merciful God. I thank God every day for Him, for my salvation. No human can reach across the chasm of sin by his own power. We have not that power. But God can. In fact, following the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, God began his divine plan to redeem humanity from the suffering of sin. God's plan of salvation began with the Jewish people, the children of Adam, based on Adam's faith, love, and hope for God. God proclaimed Adam, the father of a new nation, the Jews, as God's chosen people. They received prophecies and teachings of the Lord from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was given hope from God, who promised to send a Messiah for the redemption of our sin. The Jewish prophet Isaiah prophesied the coming of the Messiah, the suffering servant. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in the fullness of days. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and that guilt he shall bear. I want to read Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. Back in the Old Testament, it was prophesied the coming of Christ. And he says, therefore, I will give him his portion among the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the mighty, because he surrendered himself to death and was counted among the wicked. And he shall take away the sins of many, and win pardon for their offenses. And that's Isaiah 53:11-12. Jesus Christ fulfilled the Jewish prophecies and perfectly upheld the old covenant of the Jewish people to the extent that it was perfected in the new covenant. Christ brought a new perfection to the Jewish law. And this is best explained by Jesus' two commandments. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, sometimes they may be difficult. But his word says we should try to love, do the best we can. And sometimes we can win that neighbor if we show the love of Christ. The second commandment, he says, you should love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, Now, this is the greatest and the first commandment. And these two commandments we should keep. And we should do as the word says. Jesus both preached and upheld the new spirit of the law with absolute perfect love for God. He did not abolish the old Jewish covenant, but rather fulfilled it and correctly interpreted the Jewish law as only the Messiah could. Amen. Christ teaches that sin is not breaking rules and rituals, but the rejection of the perfect divine love of God himself. Only Jesus Christ could have perfectly explained and fulfilled and live according to the law. You know, we don't want the death of Christ to be in vain. We have to make that choice to follow him. He has given us a roadmap. He has given us his life. He has suffered. He has shed his blood for us. It is time for us to get on board. God's love, God loved us so much. Of all that had happened all down through the years, he still maintained his love for us. God's love sent Jesus Christ into the world to teach his people the spirit of the law, as well as to perfectively atone for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus tells us, no one has greater love than this. No one. To lay down one's life for one's friend. To lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. He says, I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have told you everything. I have heard from my Father, John 15:13-15. He laid down his life to serve and give his life as ransom for many. Jesus Christ, the true man and true God, willingly accepted the crucifixion at the hands of the Jewish Sanhedrin and Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Those who feared and hated him had him crucified for false charges of inciting discord among the Jews and uttering what seemed to the Jewish leaders to be blasphemous words. Thus Jesus testifies that he is God, and that he who sees me sees the Father also. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? John 14:8-11. Christ reveals to the Jews that he not only is a human Messiah, but also God himself. For I and the Father are one. That's John 10:30. The Jewish leaders who expected a political Messiah could not and would not accept Jesus Christ's divine words of truth and had him crucified. They had him crucified. That was God's plan. But a man that did no sin, a man who was kind, a man who healed those that were sick, a man who wanted to deliver us from the sins of the world, his people crucified him. Sometimes we have to be careful. In our life, sometimes those around us can be an enemy to us. Because Jesus Christ was both true God and true man, he served as a divine and human sacrifice for the atonement of the sins of mankind. His perfect fulfillment of the law, the agony of his passion, and his death on the cross paid once and for all for the sins of man. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. God's justice demands expiation for sins that could not be paid for by any human. Only the perfect, willing, and loving sacrifice of the Son of God could atone for sin and bridge the gap between man and God. Jesus himself, by his obedience unto death, accomplished the substitution of the suffering servant who makes himself an offering for sin when he bore the sin of many and shall make many to be accounted righteous, for he shall bear the iniquities. Because Christ was truly righteous and truly human, he could sacrifice his life in love for the redemption of mankind. He could sacrifice his life in love for the redemption of mankind. Thus, Christ's death was an act of the purest love for his death and resurrection, and allow us to die in sin and raise with him in the new life. Did Jesus die so all humankind could be saved? Did Jesus die so all humankind could be saved? Yes. God gave his only son. God gave his only son that all humans, you, me, be they believers or unbelievers, could be redeemed by Christ's sacrifice. Christ did not die for a predestined elect. The church tells us Christ died for all men without exception. There is not, never have been, and never will be a single human being for whom Christ did not suffer. I want to read that again. There is not, never has been, and never will be a single human being for whom Christ did not suffer. The justice of God demands that no human being can be predestined to hell. God desires all to be saved. But only the individual can reject God's love and his gift of redemption. We have a choice. We have a choice. Again, he's laid the roadmap for us. He's given his life. He's suffered. He's died for us. What more can he do? What more can he do? God has given each of us the gift of free will. The death of Christ on the cross opened the gates of heaven so that all people, drunks, prostitutes, etc., liars, thieves, murderers, he said all people might be saved. He's given all of us an opportunity to be saved. But because of free will, we can choose to reject Christ's free gift of redemption. What a loss. What a loss to refuse Christ's free gift of redemption. Christ's death on the cross cannot force anyone into heaven. It is conditional. And it is conditional. Only those who return the love of Christ and obey his conditions can justify their place in the kingdom of heaven. We call this process justification. Praise God. Christ preaches that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit, John 3:2. We're also told, prefigured baptism, which saves you now, is not a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:21, be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, further explains, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. Peter refers to the gift of grace, the free gift of God imparted on all baptized believers. Grace merited by Christ's death on the cross breathe supernatural life into the soul, cleansing the soul of its sin, both original and personal sin, and allows the baptized person to live a life of Christian holiness. It is grace that justifies us and allows us to have supernatural faith and charity. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, for it is a gift of God. A rich young man asked Jesus, what must I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus replied, if you wish to enter into a life, keep the commandments. Matthew 19:16-17. Christ also tells us of his two great commandments. Great commandments: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This again is the greatest and first commandment. The second again is to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus makes it clear that we are justified firstly to be the free gift of grace through baptism, and secondly by obeying the commandments out of faith, hope, and charity. Now notice Christ's exact wording, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This not only means that we refrain from evil toward our neighbors, but that we obey the positive spirit of Jesus, two commandments, and the Beatitudes he preached on the Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount. Not only are baptized, repentance, faith, and obeying the commandments necessary for justification, but also good works for love of God and neighbors. The love and mercy of God has redeemed humanity. But it is the responsibility of the individual to justify their salvation by responding to Christ's grace in baptism and obeying his words. How can we know what the truth is? Peter says, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, John 6:68. Masters, Master, to whom shall we go? He has left so much information for us, so much word for us. I mean, he's treated us like a baby on milk. He may change the ingredients to soothe the baby's stomach. The baby walks, he falls, he gets up. He grows, he runs, he falls, he hurts himself. His mom picks him up. And we are, in some instance, like that baby. He is constantly looking after us. He's constantly taking care of our hurts. The needs we have, the things we don't understand, answering our prayer. He's constantly there for us. For his word says that he will never leave us and never forsake us. He's always there for us. He shed his blood for us. Let us not let that blood be in vain. Let us not let that blood that he shed on the cross be in vain. Let us be mindful, as he told his disciples, go out among the highways and hedges and compel your people to come into the house of the Lord. And that is our commission today. Share the love of Christ. That the blood on the cross would not be in vain for some. I know the time that we live in now, as we listen to the news and those that are around us, that we can see the world is in a chaotic condition. But I believe in my heart that God is aware of what is going on. And it's just for a short while. He has given us the opportunity to turn from this wicked world and turn to our Savior, who has given us an opportunity to shed this old sinful nature. To shed this old sinful nature that we cannot gain from, that we cannot take with us. We can't take any material things with us. We can't take a bank account with us. We can't take an automobile with us. We can't take the finer things of this world with us when we leave. But yet and still, we work so hard to have these items. And the best thing in life is free. The freedom that he gave us 2,000 years ago. He paid the price for us on the cross. He redeemed us from sin. He redeemed us from the world of sin. His blood lets us enter into the holiest place before the throne of God. The blood cleanses us from all sin. Again, the blood washes away our sin. The blood causes us to overcome the devil. And that is a difficult situation at times. But through Christ, all things are possible. All things are possible. And what's so wonderful about this, about redemption, is the fact that one day when it's all said and done, we're going to shed this old mortal body. We're going to shed this old mortal body, and we're going to enter into eternity with Christ. He paid such a price. He paid such a price for us. He paid a debt he did not owe. And I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Don't you want to sing a brand new song? Amazing grace all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. That I could never pay. Now I want to open it up. If there is anyone that would like to add to this part of the lesson, you might have that opportunity to do so.
Thank you. Elder Shirley Russell, that was so great. Everything that was said, and this is truly a proclamation and a declaration put out there for everyone listening to know that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. In your study, in this teaching earlier, you had said we are free mortal agents,
yes,
that we have the right to choose,
right,
whether to believe or not to believe.
Yes.
And knowing that redemption is an element of salvation, there's other elements or characteristics essential in our salvation. And some of those come with us going through things. If we were to mention anything about trials and tribulations or things that saints and those that have not came into the truth yet go through, if we were to look at redemption, how would we place this in the minds of those that are going through something? What would be the encouraging factor to bring forth an element of salvation? I hope I'm asking a question that we could all of us could talk about.
Yeah. What you're saying, I'm trying to understand, is that once we have accepted Christ as Savior,
mm-hmm,
and then we begin to go through trials and tribulations.
Yes.
And what do we do when things get, I'm just down to earth, things get pretty hard, or very difficult?
If yes.
This
is what I'm
do?
Speaking of, because we don't want, you did so great, but what I'm saying is some people think that, oh, well, if I accept Christ, everything's going to be okay. I'll be sleeping on a flowery bed of ease, and I'll have no more troubles or trials. But this is a part of making us.
Yeah, that's so true. That is so true, and I agree with you, because at one point in my life, I felt that way, but
mm-hmm,
I learned the difference. Because how are you going to grow if you don't have some stumbling blocks? And just like that child I was mentioning earlier, we go through stages, but yet we grow. We may fall, we have to get up. But if we are in Christ, we know that he's there to help us. And as I look back on my life and the things that I went through, that sometimes those prayers I asked, they did not get answered the way that I thought they should. I thank God today that they didn't, but I didn't know that. But through those things, it made me strong. It made me the person I am today.
Amen.
And then there is a scripture that says, if you're going to live for me, you're going to have to partake of some of my suffering.
Exactly.
Yes.
We have to bear our cross. Is that not right?
We have to bear our cross. You are so correct. We have to bear our cross.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought that out, because that's something we need to understand. It's not a bed of roses.
Right.
Oh, if you could just stand the test.
Oh, my God.
If you could stand the test.
Just like if somebody is going through right now,
mm-hmm.
you're going through a trial, you're going through a tribulation, or you're going through something that seems very hard, we want you to reach back to that redemptive blood of Christ.
Yes.
And know that his grace can bring you out. Amen?
Amen. Yes. Yes. Break it down, brother.
Lord Jesus. There are so many characteristics. The Bible speaks of so many things. We take the stories in the Bible, you know, and we think that they're just stories, but they're actually essential to our salvation, and they speak of the characteristics of God and of Christ, what he planned, what he carried out, and what he did to save us from what we are going through. Amen?
Yes, amen. Yes.
Yes, Lord. That's beautiful. Is there anyone else that would like to add to what have been said? This is beautiful.
You know, I think that as we live for Christ in this new sense of accepting him as our Savior, is that it's a daily process of growth in him. It's a daily process. And that we need to follow the roadmaps that he's given us, the Bible, time of fellowship, prayer, and to be in the house of the Lord, hearing a good word. And of course, being a support to each other.
Yes.
And that support system is very important.
Yes, ma'am.
It's very important.
I'll say it's important and it's essential.
Yes.
To our growth and their growth. I always tell people that we are saved for someone else. We're not saved for ourselves, although that's part of it.
Yes.
We're saved for someone else, to tell them the story, to help them out, because they will face those trials and those tribulations because they're characteristics of our going through and our strength and our building and our coming into the perfect man. Amen?
Yes. That's so true.
Well, these are good things to know and good things to be aware of, because along with reaching out to those to be saved, we want to make everyone aware that I'm sorry for that. We want to make everyone aware that you are called of Christ and you are able-bodied to receive this redemption and this redemptive flowing of blood. Some of the characteristics that are essential is that the blood covers you and that the blood protects you. Amen?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And you have protection under this. It's almost like a blanket that the Lord puts over you when you accept him, that he will make things a little bit, how can we say, less harder to go through? Can we say that?
Yeah, we can say that.
And, you know, if we abide in his will, the very essential part of our building and being one with Christ, and I know you will agree to this, is the Word of God. And that's why we're on the airways tonight, to let you know what the Word of God says, because it is essential to your living a life that is acceptable before God. And we all want to be accepted before God, don't we?
Yes. You want to be accepted.
Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful is God's Word. And beautiful is this subject tonight. Amen. Is there anyone else that would like to add to what Elder Shirley Russell has said? Oh, my God. This is, I don't know about you, but I'm charged by this word just to know that I have been redeemed and I no longer have to walk according to this world. I don't have to walk according to sin. I can be free, and I can live free from sin because
yes.
of redemption. Hallelujah.
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 Yes.
This is a blessing. This is a blessing.
Yes.
Amen. Do you have any more?
You know, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin.
Yes,
we need
it
to convict us of sin. However, why does God want to redeem us? What is God's incentive? God is divine by his nature, which includes mercy, love, and justice. God's love, mercy, and justice is a reason for our redemption. Our hopeless condition caused God to extend his mercy and love. God reached down into humanity, and because of our intercessor, because no man could ever accomplish what God required. Amen.
Amen. Now, you opened up a good question. Why, to redeem us, he really doesn't need us, does he?
Good question. He really doesn't need us. But he loves us.
Huh.
He loved us from the beginning, you know. He created man because he was lonely. He wanted fellowship with man. He wanted fellowship with Adam and Eve in the garden.
Amen.
And I think that is one reason that he is still trying to get that fellowship back.
Amen.
That fellowship back.
So what we're saying tonight is redemption is ongoing. It never stops.
It never stops.
And that freedom is for all.
It is for all.
Mhm.
It is for all.
And we're tools that are used to carry out this freedom. Because if a man doesn't hear it, he can't believe. Because the word says, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So we got to tell the story.
We have to tell the story.
Amen.
We have to tell the story. When that opportunity comes, we must share the story.
Beautifully put.
We become the story. to share. Because we know that we are wrapped up into the blanket of Christ, the blood of Christ. And we want to bring as many with us as we can.
Amen.
As many as we can.
I like what you said when you said we become a story. Our very lives become a story before everyone, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
As it speaks of the nature and the character of Christ, we have to live before men as Christ has set us free and made us free. We got to walk in that freedom, don't we?
Yes. And we have to appreciate what Christ has done for us. How we look, how we walk, how we dress. Whatever we do, we need to represent him. We can't pattern ourselves after the world, because that's a drawback. Because when you begin to pattern yourself after the world, before you know it, you're walking in that direction. But thank God, he can pull you back with his forgiveness. And you start again, all over.
Amen. So there's a lot of things that are essential to my living Christ-like. I've got to be humble.
Yes. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. I remember on my job there was a young lady that had such a horrible attitude. I mean, very distasteful. I asked God, I said, God, help me to love her and help her to love me. Help me to do that. I took the steps to draw her to me, to draw her to Christ. When she attacked in her way, I never attacked back. Till finally, there was time she would come and just talk and share with me. I mean, this was just totally a miracle to me for her to even talk or stop by my room and ask me how I am, how are you doing today. But the day she told me, she said, I love you. Now, that was truly a miracle of God. I said, well, I love you too.
My God.
All things are possible through Christ. That was my mission, to change her attitude with the help of God. Sometimes in life, when we're in a difficult situation and we're around difficult people, we have a tendency to turn away. I'm not going to be bothered, you know, later on for that. It is a ripe opportunity for you to share the love of Christ. You may not be able to do it all at the same time, but just a little bit. What did it say about a little bit of leaven?
Yes.
Yes. A little bit of love. Yes, it's something about it. If he says you can love your enemy, that means you can love them. And they, in turn, will love you.
So we ourselves are elements of redemption, so to speak, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
So when he says we're lights that set upon a hill that cannot be hid, the light we shine is a redemptive light.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Just like those, what are the buildings called that bring the ships in? A lighthouse?
The lighthouse.
Yes, that light just shines out over that ocean,
The lighthouse.
Telling the ships where to come on a cloudy day, right?
Yes, when the winds are rough.
Oh, my God.
The waves are high.
My God.
And the danger is there, and darkness.
Ooh.
Look unto the hills of which cometh your help, and knowing your help cometh from God.
Oh, my God. Because the world wants us to be hopeless. They want us to live a life of hopelessness. And
yes.
Oh my God, when the Bible says, what does a man yet hope for if he has no hope? And hope is essential.
It is so essential.
Yes.
Elf.
And
to
living.
So essential now.
Yes,
I'm
and to having God.
It is so essential.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Dream those dreams and hope all you want that God will fulfill. It's, I think, Elder, we have to live a life of expectancy.
Yes.
Expecting
yes.
God to move, expecting him to do something. I think it's expectancy is a grounds. I think I've heard this said. Expectancy is a grounds for miracles.
Yes. Expected. You know, I was driving down the interstate. Driving the interstate, the mileage is about 70, 75, right? And this car pulled in front of me. Now, it should have been a wreck. And you know what I did? Elder, I closed my eyes because I knew humanly that I couldn't make it.
My
I
God.
Said Jesus. I closed my eyes, and when I opened my eyes, I was all down the street.
Oh, God.
I said, thank you, Father, for your divine protection. So I thought, you know, you look back on your life, and you can see there have been so many times that God has reached out and saved your life or saved the circumstances or brought something to you that you needed. You don't know where it came from, but God did it. And
oh,
he's still doing it. He's still.
Yes, he is. Yes,
we
he is.
Reach for things to satisfy the natural man, but it's only for a short time. The more the human side of you wants, the more it needs. It's never satisfied. But the peace of God surpasses all understanding. The peace that God gives you. When Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, and he began to share with her.
Yes.
The water, the living water. She grasped that water. She grasped what he was saying. Give me this water that I may never thirst again. We must realize the world cannot give us this water.
No, they can't.
Only God can give us this water. Give me this water that I shall not thirst again. And what did she do? She accepted the water. She was a woman that had five husbands. None she had now wasn't hers. She ran back to evangelize, to tell them, I met a man.
And revival struck out.
We need to get excited.
She had
a need.
That's what we need to do. Y'all better come on, because me and Elder Russell are going to have church all by ourselves. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's beautiful.
Elder, some of us are just waiting by the well.
Yes.
We're waiting by a door.
Mm.
We're waiting at a store. We're waiting in our yards. We're waiting for something. for someone to tell us, give me a drink of water. Give me something. The world is not satisfying me. The world is not giving me what I need. Give this to me.
Amen.
And that's what the redemption blood is all about. It's already done. Share
yes.
those that need it. Share
yes.
it.
And we're reaching out by telling every listener here and those that have tuned in that this redemption can save your life. And if you've tried everything and everything has failed, please try Jesus.
Yes, please try
Jesus. The redemptive blood of Christ. We're coming to a close, and we hate to come to a close. I just love this. I love the Word of God, and I know you do. But
Amen.
We have to give this prayer for those that are not saved and want to make Jesus a part of their life. We want you to say this prayer with us. Lord, I repent of my sins.
Lord, I repent of my sins.
I proclaim and I believe.
I proclaim and I believe.
That Jesus died on the cross.
That Jesus died on the cross.
And he rose from the dead.
From the dead.
And that his blood washed me.
And his blood washed me.
And his blood redeemed me.
And his blood redeemed me.
Now, Jesus, come into my heart.
And Jesus, come into my heart.
And fill me with your Holy Spirit.
And fill me with your Holy Spirit.
I give my life to you.
I give my life to you.
And I love you, Lord.
And I love you, Lord.
Hallelujah. If you prayed this prayer with us, you are saved. Go to a Bible-believing church that they may restore, heal, and revive you in Jesus' holy name.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Father, we pray for Elder Russell, God, that you would continue to bless her with this word of faith and that she might touch the hearts of all men. And God, let them know, so much so that they run crying, what must we do to be saved? And we pray for everyone that teaches on this broadcast. We pray for our Elder Denise Bryson, who started this, the anointed person, our anointed host.
Yeah.
That we're taking the place of. We pray that the Lord covers her also, and the Lord protects us. In this day and time, we need protection.
We need protection.
We need protection.
Yeah, we need protection.
And the Lord protects us like no one else. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. And we pray your protection upon your people, O God, because God, you are our deliverer.
Yes, yes.
And you know how to deliver. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Once again, we're coming to the close of, I feel, a beautiful broadcast tonight. Thank you so much, Elder Shirley Russell, for presenting a message and this on the subject of redemption. I have been overwhelmed.
And thank you, Ella Dobson. I appreciate your input.
I appreciate that input.
Sometimes when we have someone on the outside listening, they
yes.
can think of things that we need to add. I appreciate that so very much. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you, too. And we hope we have touched someone's heart with this broadcast. Call us and let us know you heard us on tonight. And call Denise Bryson, the Elder Denise Bryson, and tell her what you heard. And please turn in and tune in every night. We'll be here. Amen. Elder Shirley, you going to be here?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We'll be here waiting on them. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.